Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Of the show after a number of pre-recorded episodes from the Porcupine Freedom Festival and prior to that Fork Fest for the last several, roughly 10 days. We've had a couple live shows here and there throughout as people on the campground needed a couple breaks, but for the most part we've been pre-recorded from Fork Fest for some time. And we actually have one more segment, not a full show, but one segment to play. It's the continuation of the interview with Ben from Goldback.com, the amazing Goldbacks, which are hugely popular now at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. You guys went into overtime last night. Ari is going to be joining me here live in the studio here in just a moment, but let's pick up on the interview from yesterday with Ben from Goldback. And Aria.
I'm joined here by Ben, who is with Goldback.com, and we have a fascinating conversation. It's always great to sit down and talk with you. Because
you are
one of the, I don't know about key figures, but you're one of the key figures in Goldback. You're the one who has been here on the ground in New Hampshire year after year, making Goldback the phenomenon and success that it is today.
And I'm really proud of what we've accomplished here in New Hampshire. I mean, I'm really the only person from the company who's come here consistently. But I fell in love with the place when I came to my first Pork Fest. So that first Pork Fest, we were here mostly because of you guys. It was Ian and Aria that were selling some stuff for Goldbacks and helping us get started. And then I thought, you know what? I need to actually go to New Hampshire and show off the new New Hampshire Goldback basically to launch it at Pork Fest.
I remember that year because it was late at night. I got a message saying, hey, the Goldback guys are coming in. They should be there now. I think I met you. It was finally 9 o'clock at night when you guys finally got in, got you set up. And what the Goldbacks went from was just this loose currency that some people were using to an actual, almost an institution here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It used to be cryptocurrency and the AnyPay app, which I was used to seeing everywhere. You know, swipe, scan the QR code, pay with crypto. But now, it's almost entirely Goldbacks. It's amazing how it has grown and developed over the years, where AnyPay, I know this wasn't intentional and it wasn't by design, but AnyPay got replaced by Goldbacks here. And I've systematically watched it happen. It used to be the case that everyone had a tablet or their phone and they would sign up for AnyPay and it would create an invoice. You'd buy a burger and you could create the invoice for $12, show your QR code and they could scan it and send it and it would mark it as paid on your phone. So you knew that you had received the payment. One of the issues that people had with cryptocurrency and QR codes is that if you print out your code and you just lay it out there on the table, you don't know how much the buyers actually sent. And you don't know that there wasn't an issue with the blockchain, that maybe they didn't get full service. With AnyPay, it would pop up as pay, and you knew that you had received that funds, or that you would ultimately receive those funds once they were confirmed on the blockchain. The scanning the QR code thing was the precursor to that, and it was mostly successful, you know, but if you bought a bunch of crypto, if you used a bunch of cryptocurrency here at the festival, and a month later you look down at your phone and you notice that, you know, some of that crypto came back because it never got confirmed, or you didn't have an ignite signal, so it was never actually broadcast, you would never be able to identify who you accidentally robbed. And it has a lot of little problems like that. Plus, the internet can be sort of spotty up here. It's less of an issue these years since it's been upgraded, but it had a lot of issues.
You know, and I think that's one of the things, is that cryptocurrency, the technology, if you understand the blockchain, of course, it's amazing. It's an amazing tool. But it is true that when it comes to the moment of transactions, oh yeah, I want to buy that burger, I'm going to pay for that burger, it is really hard to beat the convenience of a cash solution. Because there's no fees, it's instantaneous. You hand them the gold, they hand you whatever you bought with the gold, and that has made it really popular. Not just here at Porkfest. This is to me a kind of a sad brag because I am a big fan of cryptocurrency, and I'm really excited about owning a bunch of it. But as good of a store of value as cryptocurrency has been, goldbacks are actually accepted at more merchants in New Hampshire and in Utah than any form of cryptocurrency is at this point.
I don't know. That's a sad brag. That's an amazing brag. And I recall that first year after the first Porcupine Freedom Festival, or after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, you decided that your efforts would be better spent canvassing New Hampshire and Maine than in hanging out here at ForkFest, which is understandable. There was almost no one at ForkFest who had not been here for the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So at that point, you were preaching to the choir, so to speak. And you got the Lancaster Absolutely. House of Pizza here in Lancaster to accept cryptocurrency. I mean, to accept goldbacks.
Yep.
And this was the first time I saw a brick-and-mortar business actually with a sticker on their door that says, now accepting goldback. And you did that, and Ian brought you guys here. So all credit to you and to him for that. But you were actually doing the legwork, obviously. And they no longer still take goldbacks.
Did they stop?
I made
what
it
a pity. I should go over there and buy a pizza and see if they'll take it.
Well, the sad thing is, no one is shopping here year round. The restaurant across from us at the Cabot Hotel, they have a restaurant. They took cryptocurrency for a number of years, but we were there only ever cryptocurrency clients. Like one time a year, cryptocurrency advocates at ForkFest would come over there and they would eat. And then the rest of the year it would be cash and card only. And Lancaster House of Pizza ran into the same issue. Mm-hmm. So whoever's there probably just has never even heard of the goldback. But I went there sometime last week, got a buffalo chicken pizza. It was surprisingly good. I really like the crust that they use. And
very nice.
I asked if they take goldbacks, and the answer was no. What are those? And they had a full line, so I didn't get a chance to really explain it. But sadly, they've also moved locations from where they were previously, but they no longer seem to take goldbacks. But they did.
Yeah, we gain and lose people in our networks sometimes, and yet the networks have really grown. Of course, Utah is where we started. In Utah, we have over 500 business locations that will now accept payment in goldbacks at their cash registers, just like any other form of payment. And that even extends to things like Ace Hardware and
really?
Restaurant supply companies and publishers and, I mean, a bunch of even larger businesses.
That's amazing. One of the things I'm going to be doing when I'm in prison next week is writing a bunch of books. And there's a publisher that we've worked with a lot here on Free Talk Live called Bain Publishing. I would love it if we could work it out with them where they publish my books and pay me in goldbacks.
Absolutely, right?
Or cryptocurrency, either one. But these are more useful to me as forms of actual currency than the USD. And the more of it that I have, the better it is for me to use.
And here's the thing, too. When it comes to USD, let's not forget, with Fed now, we're going to have a CBDC really soon. And when that happens, what are we going to do? I mean, a lot of conservative states have been passing resolutions saying that they will not use the CBDC. But what alternative do they have? Of course they're going to use the CBDC. They're going to crumble like a paper tiger the moment the dollar becomes a CBDC because they have no other choice. But goldbacks are another choice. They're a form of cash that even if they abolish cash or even if they try to track everything, you can't track a gold back. It's just gold.
It's very Mark of the Beast-ish, right? And I realize that the Book of Revelation is about like the 100 CE era and Emperor Nero, and it's not about the future. And the only reason that Christians believe that is because the rise of fundamentalism and this one particular Bible in like the 17th or the 18th century that was very widespread. But anyway, there's a lot to be said about Christians and the resistance to this central bank digital currency and this idea of the government having full control over your ability to send and receive currency. As we see with China and their social credit system, if you make the Chinese government angry, they could, with a central bank digital currency, just deactivate your wallet. And there you go. The wallet that is implanted in your hand or your phone or whatever that you use to transact on a daily basis that you cannot transact with any other way because there's no longer any USD. All you have is this digital currency, and if you've upset the government, they deactivate your account. It's very Mark of the Beast-ish.
Yeah, and very communist, of course, but you know, it's not just in China. That's basically what happened with the truckers in Canada.
And that's what we'll see here in regards to the CBDC.
Absolutely, and you know, I think a lot of us are already familiar with the idea that you stick your card in some machine, it's going to say approved or denied. The thing that most people don't realize is that who's flipping those switches? Who's going to hit approved or denied? It's not a human being. It's computer system. And that computer system, if it has to run that approval through the Fed, through the Federal Reserve, they may create an algorithm or an artificial intelligence that can decide whether or not they think you are a desirable or an undesirable, and whether or not, therefore, they want to allow you to make purchases. And if you have no other way to buy or sell anything or do anything, then, yeah, they own you. And, you know, they say that phrase we keep hearing, which is that you will own nothing, but you'll be happy. Here's the thing that's really scary. Most of us don't realize that the USD is a debt instrument, which means you already own nothing. Right now, the Fed owns you, practically. The question is, I don't know, are you happy about that or what?
And it goes further than that. It's not simply the USD, because property taxes, your house can be taken. If you don't pay your property taxes, the government will take your house. Well, we have a word for it. If you have to regularly pay on a thing in order to prevent it from being taken from you. If I legitimately own this laptop, I don't have to pay a yearly fee to maintain ownership of this laptop. But if you have a house, you do have to pay a yearly fee, or the government will take your property away from you. So it's not your property. This is my laptop, and no one can take it away from me. But in regard to your house, yes, it is the government's property, and they can take it away from you. And this is the case repeatedly through taxation, property taxes, and other forms of oppression, where you absolutely, the government will allow you to own most consumer goods, which is something like a laptop or whatever. But when it comes to your car, you're going to have to regularly pay for licenses and fees and taxes, and the same with your house if you want to actually own anything. And it's not even owning, as we mentioned.
Right, and that's basically the problem, is that a CBDC doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the CB, the central bank. They own the currency. They just give you access to what they think you should allow, what they want to allow access to. And so in that case, you don't own your money really anymore.
And on the I'm watching Coinbase and Binance right now fight against the SEC, and it's Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg recently agreed to have a cage match, right? And I thought this was a joke when I saw it, but apparently the BBC has confirmed that yes, they've agreed to do this. But I'm watching something similar with the Coinbase and the SEC, where I'm watching two evil organizations that I wish would destroy each other, fight against one another, and I don't know how to root for the devil against the devil. And this is something that we're seeing more and more of in regard to central bank digital currencies, and I don't know how to feel about the banks being our safeguard, our protector against the central bank digital currency. Because Wells Fargo, Bank of America, these other mega banks, JP Morgan and Chase, they're going to resist the central bank digital currency, because it takes control of the currency away from them and it gives it instead directly to the government. So, like, I don't know how to feel about Wells Fargo trying to defend me against the central bank digital currency.
Well, and I wonder if they even will. How strongly did Wells Fargo fight Richard Nixon when he suspended the convertibility of the dollar in 1971. I think they rolled over and did what they were told. And I think that'll happen again.
I don't know that they will, because this would be a death knell for them, right? Because you no longer need a bank account at that point. You no longer need your Wells Fargo account or your Bank of America account. All you need is your central bank digital currency account, your digital wallet through the U.S. government. So it completely guts them and removes their power.
Well, and they've got so much power, and as we all know, nobody gives up power easily. So, I understand your argument. I guess we'll have to see how it goes.
I mean, it's going to be bad no matter what, right? I don't want to see a central bank digital currency developed. I certainly don't want to see it used. I wasn't a fan when I saw Facebook, Meta now, working on Libra, which was going to be their own cryptocurrency, except it wasn't really encrypted. It was very unclear. It was a digital currency.
Sure.
And I'm not thrilled about PayPal and the way they technically offer Bitcoin, but you can't prove that it's actually Bitcoin because you can't withdraw it from their network, so it may not actually be Bitcoin. You may not actually have any Bitcoin.
Right, it could be speculative. You know, we've been facing this in the precious metals market for a long time. There's so much paper silver and paper gold out there, they call it, that basically it's like selling a short position. I can pull out a piece of paper and write on it that I will deliver you 1,000 ounces of silver at such and such a price, and then sell that piece of paper to somebody, and we can pass around the piece of paper and sell it to each other for for different prices. And then they're never really turned in for the silver. And when they are, then they're like, oh, I guess we'll have to buy some silver then. And they buy silver to fulfill that contract.
And this is why there's a huge gap in trying to redeem some of these gold and silver certificates.
Right, because the gold and silver, there are actually, they say somewhere between 10 and 100 times more certificates in out there than there are actual ounces of gold or silver.
That's terrifying. And that's one of the things that scares me about the gold backed cryptocurrency that people are talking about, and that we're likely to see one day, a currency backed by gold backs. But one of the appeals of the gold back, one of the things that makes it so precious, so valuable, is that it's not backed by gold. This is not something that I can take to a bank or to an organization or to a corporation and redeem in gold. I can't hand you this 50 note and ask you to give me a 20th of an ounce of gold, because I'm already holding a 20th of an ounce of gold. It's not redeemable. It's not a certificate. It is the actual precious metal.
Right. And because it is the gold in your own hands, in your own wallet, that means that you don't even have to worry about it. If we go out of business, it just means we're not printing more of them, but you still have the gold. And you know, and that means it also can't really be confiscated. It can't really be changed.
Well, it can be confiscated, right?
Well, physically. It'd have to be physically confiscated. Right now, to confiscate all of your dollars, all they've got to do is shut down your bank account and poof, it's gone. But the gold back, I suppose you could get mugged, basically.
Yeah.
But beyond that, you have the gold. It transcends institutions.
That's why I'm hesitant about the gold backed cryptocurrency, because like what do we need it for? We already have cryptocurrencies that are not backed by anything except proof of work and demand for them.
Right, and of course that's a type of value.
It is.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about it no matter what. I know people have been working on gold-backed cryptocurrencies for a long time. Like Pax Gold is the one that comes to mind. I used to have a fair bit of Pax Gold, and in theory, this was back when gold was like $1,700 an ounce, I could have sold my Pax Gold, and Pax Gold would have delivered me, or I could have demanded that Paxos, the company, deliver to me an ounce of gold. I never did that. And they claimed that they had the gold already in their possession.
But how do you prove it, right?
And then the government could raid it, as you mentioned. The government said, oh, Paxos has all this gold over here. Let's go and get that. With goldbacks,
right. Piracy.
With goldbacks, you simply don't have to worry about it. It's yours to keep. You have it. It's the actual gold, and that's invaluable. It's actual liquid wealth that you can hold in your hands and exchange for people.
Yeah, the closest thing we have, because the big problem arises still, what do you do when you need to do a digital transaction? What do you do when you're buying something over the internet or buying something over a very large distance, the other side of the world? You want to send that money to the other side of the world. We do have a vaulting system that's somewhat similar to that. The United Precious Metals Association at upma.org actually promotes these accounts but once again, we do keep the gold or the gold backs inside of our vault. It is a very secure vault, and you can actually physically audit and confirm the physical presence of the gold inside that vault.
Fantastic.
Quarterly. But but that is still in the vault, not in your hands, right?
Right. Do you mean the average person can do this?
The average person can do this. If you go to upma.org, that stands for United Precious Metals Association, .org, you can open an account. It's free to have an account in Goldbacks, and you can do digital transactions. And here's the cool thing about that, though. When you're swapping the ownership of these Goldbacks that are held in that vault, it is a peer-to-peer transaction, because this is run through a trust system. I can get a little wonky about this because I'm an attorney. But basically, it's protected by privilege and by you being a beneficiary of a trust. And therefore, you can do a peer-to-peer transaction on that system without really any reporting requirements. You can do it anonymously, essentially, and peer-to-peer. And all of it's insured by Lloyd's of London in that vault. And we just want to make sure we can help people do business and actually create a free market, because that's what a free market currency is for.
That's amazing. Beautiful developments. And, of course, I'm happy to see gold backs here. You are also this year a sponsor, to some extent, of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, aren't you?
That's correct. That's why we have that big, beautiful tent or big pavilion down there by the main pavilion. We decided to be official sponsor of the 20th Pork Fest this year.
And that's been amazing, too, because you're selling gold backs there. And I wanted to get into this earlier and only briefly did. But the vast majority of the shop are other vendors who have put their wares out for sale on a completely trusting honor system where they come by, if someone sees something they want, they leave the gold bags for it and they take the product that they choose because their prices are labeled and fixed.
Right, yeah, we just list all of our prices in goldbacks. That's actually one of the funnest things that a business can do is just list their prices in goldbacks instead of in dollars. I did that when I was working at my law firm before I joined the Goldback Project directly. I made a price list for things like an estate or trust plan, which is a flat fee. I listed the dollar price and the goldback price. But here was the problem. I didn't realize how much the dollar price had lost its value until a client came in and said, well, I'm going to pay you in dollars. That's too much in goldbacks. And I realized that I'd lost almost 20% of the value of the dollar since I'd made the sign until that client had come in and reminded me, by the way, your dollars, they're shrinking every day. And the problem is it's just so slow, you just don't quite notice it until things like this year when you think, oh, my gosh, it's how much to do what for almost everything now? It sneaks up on you and gets you, doesn't it, that inflation?
It does. And I vastly prefer, not just for the inflation reasons, but I prefer things to be marked in goldbacks because it's just easier math, right?
Like right.
Almost everyone here is pricing their stuff in USD still, and I don't understand why. I bought some curry from someone. It was $15. I was like, all right, so, I mean, that's four goldbacks because they're valued at $4 each. And a lot of people want to give me change as well. I'm like, no, why would you give me back a $1 bill when I've paid you in goldbacks, right? Either
right.
Find a way to give me a fourth of a goldback, which is impossible, or just round up or round down.
You know, I can say this is something we've been looking into, of course. One goldback is 1/1000th of a trounce. It is hard for me to describe just how complicated it is to make it consistently that tiny.
Yeah, that's infinitesimal.
It's infinitesimal. But we are actually looking at if we can do it in a way that would actually make market sense to make quarter goldbacks. Because we do,
wow.
I understand people do want a smaller denomination. So we are working on that.
It may
work, but right now it doesn't feel quite feasible. It might cost us more money to make a quarter goldback than the quarter goldback would be worth. And we don't want to do it at too big of a loss, lest we go bankrupt trying to...
Yeah,
I'm trying to do.
And honestly, I don't think it's necessary, right? Like, just raise your price a dollar to four goldbacks, and we'll call it even. But I'm not paying in dollars. I'm paying in goldbacks. So why
awesome.
On earth would I get a dollar back from you? That's crazy. I don't pay you in one currency and get the change back in euros or whatever rubles. You know, I paid you in gold, so either give me the change back in gold or don't give me any change.
You know, in a lot of cases, people have been doing the opposite too. If they list something for $5, they'll say, oh, well, or one. Goldback.
I much prefer that. Just price it in goldbacks, or give me an either or. Like,
yep.
Give people a little discount for using goldbacks.
Yeah.
Like, it's $5 or one goldback. Just save a dollar. Thank you so much for joining us, Ben. We are here at the Porcupine.
Yes, indeed, and we're going to continue live here in moments from our studio in Keene, New Hampshire. Now that the Porcupine Freedom Festival and Forkfest have wrapped up, although there are still some people at the campground, from what I understand, for what some are calling Sporkfest. Anyway, more coming up from here in Keene. The number 603-283-6160, and it's Free Talk Live.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. A new poll shows former President Trump is expanding his lead over the rest of the Republican presidential field despite his federal indictment. The NBC News survey finds only single-digit support for former Vice President Mike Pence, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. Some damage is being reported in Indiana after a suspected tornado hit the central part of the state. Tornado warnings were in effect in multiple counties on Sunday. It turns out U.S. intelligence agencies briefed the White House and Congress last week of an expected arms rebellion in Russia. The spy agencies had picked up strong signals in mid-June that Wagner Group mercenary boss Yevgeny Prigozhin was planning a revolt against Russia's defense ministry. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse returns to the front of the box office pack with $19 million. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. We are back in the Keene studios here in beautiful Keene, New Hampshire. After more than a week, about 10 days, I think, up at Rogers Campground, 10 or 11 days, something like that, at the beautiful, beautiful Rogers Campground. I had the pleasure of going up 3 days this year, whereas last year I was only up for 1 day, so three times the Rogers Campground, which is always a nice thing.
It's so frustrating that they wouldn't allow you to simply stay the night.
I know.
Right?
So stupid. But you're talking about the federal government.
Yes, I thought the government was supposed to care about the environment and, you know, and vehicular safety and highway safety. I mean, it's,
and my bail conditions that I'm out on, which are the reasons why I couldn't stay the night, I'm supposed to be able to work. Like, that's supposed to be one of the reasons I'm allowed to leave my home. But I have a curfew, and we're asking for that to be waived, essentially, for this. Even though it wouldn't really be waived, I would still be in the same place at nighttime. I would be in a hotel room instead of in my bedroom here in Keene. But the prosecutor said that, well, he just wants to have a sleepover, quote-unquote sleepover with his friends. And it's like, no, that's not the point. I would still be sleeping with my wife in our hotel room with our dog. You know, we'd still have the same sleeping arrangements. It's just I wouldn't have to travel for 6 hours a day. In fact, they even said in their objection, well, there's no reason why he can't just go up and back every day. Well, there is.
Yeah, there are many reasons.
Would you want to travel 6 hours a day to go to your job, Miss Prosecutor?
No.
I don't think you
making
would.
The trip down there and back in a single day is...
It's a lot.
Yeah, doing it one way is a lot.
It is.
I'm a little bit tired after, you know... Well, I also packed up
you
all this stuff.
You spent a whole week there, though, so... Yeah.
But, you know, even after the drive back, it's maybe 2.5 hours. I'm exhausted, man.
Yeah. It is. It absolutely is. So anyway, that was denied, although it did come on the heels of us requesting to change from a home confinement restrictions to a curfew, which was approved. So the judge did approve that, and now I don't have to ask permission to leave during the day, but I do still have to be back by a certain time at night. But this is what, you know, the burden of someone who is on pre-sentencing confinement. I'm not in a jail cell pre-sentencing. Normally... Once you get convicted by a jury, you go to prison. You go right then.
Yeah.
And then they bring you back for, they probably would hold you in a jail for that time frame. And then you'd go to prison after the sentencing happens. I was allowed to stay out because the judge did acknowledge that there is a quote-unquote appealable issue, at least one of them, in my case. So he allowed me to stay out. Whether that will continue to be the case after sentencing still remains to be seen. So that's coming up for
me. I certainly hope so, because I think that minimizes the likelihood of you actually going to prison. You know, I don't have a lot of faith in the U.S. government, but the appeals court seems to more or less do its job sometimes. And, you know, it's my hope, based on the facts, that they will rule in accordance with the facts and with the philosophies and principles of this country and will do what I would want them to do, which is to, you know, dismiss all of these charges against you and
I hope so, if it goes that far. I mean, there's still a chance that the judge in the case could dismiss all of the charges as well.
That is still possible.
I don't know how likely it is, but it could happen. So we still have some cards to play on this thing. It's not over with, and we're going to keep going as long as possible. TheCrypto6.com, you can go there to learn more about what we're talking about. It's where you and I, Aria, and several of our friends were arrested in March of 2021 for the dastardly alleged crime. I still do not believe this is a crime of selling Bitcoin without asking for government permission first. And that's what it all essentially stems from. They hit us with a bunch of other, you know, charges like money laundering and other nonsense. And unfortunately, you are going to prison because you did take a plea on that. And I understand why.
Right.
But you took a plea on the lesser of the charges, which was the money transmission without a license. Again, I don't think that's illegal when it comes to Bitcoin, but... You know, you were facing a lot more time if you didn't take the plea.
Well, I would have argued the same, right? Yeah. And I think I would still argue the same. However, I recognize that the judge and the legal system disagrees with me on that.
Yep, they think Bitcoin is quote-unquote funds.
And in my scenario, I mean, in general, they're the ones with the power, so they're the ones who ultimately get to say whether or not it is or isn't money transmission. And I feel like I probably, personally, I would have lost that battle with them anyway. So it was a matter of just cutting my losses, accepting their definition, and trying to minimize the damage.
And we're going to find out, because that is going to be appealed in my case for sure.
Yes.
I think that Bitcoin isn't funds. It's programming.
Bitcoin is useless as money.
It is. It's definitely not currency. That's a foreign thing. That's like a government money central bank thing. That's actually defined in the statutes. But funds actually doesn't have any definition when you look at
the... funds wasn't even in the statute until 2021 in the first place.
No, it was.
Are you sure? I thought funds was added after 2021.
No, funds was there. It was something else that they put in. They put in dollar equivalents.
Okay.
Was what they, if I recall correctly, is what they put in there. But there's still no mention of cryptocurrency. There's still no mention of Bitcoin or anything like that in any of the government stuff. The SEC, the CFTC, all these regulations that they keep trying to come at these crypto companies with and the individual Bitcoin sellers. Just a couple weeks ago, right before the Porcupine Freedom Festival and Forkfest kicked off, it wasn't really in the news, and it still hasn't been in the news, but there was an article on a Monero forum that the top Monero cash by mail seller on a website called AgoraDesk.com, which is a peer-to-peer sales site, has been arrested by the FBI. So they continue to target top-level peer-to-peer sellers for
likely the same kind of BS charges.
Well, the only reason you and I were in the news, or the crypto sick were in the news, is because we generated the news.
That's correct.
And these things are happening all over the country. A lot of people asked, I know Mark Edge in particular asked, well, why isn't the cryptocurrency media, why aren't they screaming about this and printing about and ranting about it? Because it's happening all over the place. Right? It's not just us. We recently learned of, I think, Mark Risen is his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mark Hopkins, a.k.a. Mark Risen, R-I-Z-Z-N.
I mixed up the two. But he was incarcerated for operating an unlicensed money transmission business.
Which he took a plea on because they were going to come after his wife with the same charges just because her name was on his bank account.
And we just so happened to learn about his case, right? But by
I didn't know who he was prior to seeing the post get shared around when he was getting ready to go turn himself into prison.
It was almost by sheer coincidence that we, who faced identical charges in almost identical circumstances, happened to learn about his case. So this is happening everywhere, and most of them aren't getting media coverage.
Yeah, most of them are completely unsung. The Binances, the Coinbases, these big exchanges are getting a lot of media coverage, but they're also not facing criminal charges. They're, at least yet, there's some talk that the Binance founder may be facing criminal charges at some point, but that's just rumor. It hasn't manifested yet. And, of course, the FTX guy is facing some criminal charges in that case, but most of the exchanges are just being sued in civil court by the SEC. In fact, I want to talk about the SEC, but we should focus on Porkfest since that's kind of what we're wrapping up, but there is some interesting opinion from one of the guys that was at Porkfest, Bruce Fenton, who is a crypto guy and also has worked in the stock market world for a very, very long time. So he's an expert when it comes to dealing with the SEC. And he's got a few things to say about the whole, just come on in and register. Come sit on down on the couch and we'll set you up with all the things you need. No. He says you can't even do that if you wanted to try to do that. We're going to go to your phone calls.
Coinbase tried that, didn't they?
Yes, they did. We're going to go to your phone calls here. We're going to this caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hello, Ian. Can you hear me?
Yes. What is your name, caller?
Keith. In Virginia.
Welcome, sir. What's on your mind tonight?
How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
I'm glad to hear you, and thanks for taking my call. And really sorry too for all of the trouble about the case.
Well, it's not your fault, so it's okay. I appreciate the thoughts, though.
I wanted to ask you, though. I remember Eustace Mullins many years ago. I was writing about the Federal Reserve and doing research actually way back in high school and learned that he said that the history of the Federal Reserve is, or the history of America is the history of the Federal Reserve. And it talked about how the Redcoats came over after the Bank of England, principal or owners of the Bank of England told King George III, who is a principal stockholder, that the colonists were printing their own or coining their own money.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bank of England wasn't getting any cut from that.
But they didn't like that.
You need to send the Redcoats or, you know, the British Army over to put a stop to that. Which they did. They went over, they crushed the mint, and at some point in time, the American colonists, built another one and went back to it. And
so what you're saying is it's the same old story.
Crushed it again.
Here we are 250 years later or whatever, and the government is just a different set of thugs and located in a different location, but doing the same thing, crushing currency competition.
Exactly. So in the way that they ripped out, didn't they rip out a couple of your Bitcoin ATMs?
Bitcoin vending machines, and yes, they absolutely did rip them out. I mean, literally with the jaws of life, I believe, from one of the locations.
It's kind of similar, and could you use any of that story in your, that history account from Eustace Mullins in your appeal?
One of the things I learned while going through the system is that, especially libertarians, we have this idea that we can turn the courtroom into like a debate arena, or we can reference these historical things and make these grand philosophical arguments.
Persuade the judge on those things.
Yeah, none of that happens, man.
No, it doesn't. Appeals are only based on questions of law and errors, essentially, in the court. And so in our case, the appeal, as I understand it, is going to be based on the fact that they didn't prove their case. And that's where we're going to be coming from on that one. You don't just get to go in there and lecture the judge on the history of money in America and how that this is just, you know, the government's being evil because, well, the government, the federal government is evil all the time, and, you know, that's just what they do. They ruin
people's
lives.
Yeah, but the judge is part of that government. So telling them that, I mean, he's...
It's probably not going to persuade him to.
Right. And it'll turn in the opposite direction. You're basically, when you said the federal government is evil to a federal judge, you're saying you're evil, right? And he's not going to rule, not likely to rule in your favor if you go in there.
I actually think this judge is relatively fair, all things considered. I think, I've seen stories of federal judges before, like the Ross Ulbricht case with the Silk Road, where they've been behaved in a monstrous and unfair fashion. I feel like this one was pretty fair and has been pretty fair and open-minded. I think that he listens to the evidence fairly. I don't know what that will mean when it comes to him handing out a sentence, because if I'm facing 8 counts, you were handed down a sentence of 18 months, Arya, on 1 count, where the maximum was 30-something.
But in my case, the prosecutors were arguing I should get the maximum.
They were.
They'll argue that in your case.
I sure hope not, because the maximum right now in my case is life in prison, basically, 70 years. I mean, that's not quote-unquote life, but I'm in my 40s, so 70 years would basically be.
And, I mean, we have no idea what the judge is going to do, but while I was walking around the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which I did a lot this last week, one of the things I thought about a lot was your sentencing, and I believe on some level that the judge, most likely, the harshest he's going to go is like 3 to 5 years in prison. That's what my gut is telling me, because he under-sentenced me by a huge degree.
Mm-hmm.
And my gut tells me that he did that so he can still punish you more harshly while still not being overly excessive, like Ross Ulbricht level of 20 years in prison. Ross got much worse than 20 years in prison.
2 life sentences plus 40 years for running a website.
So I think
that's an example of a monstrous judge who...
I think in this case it's to punish you more harshly, in quotation marks, but still cutting way below that 20 years or 10 years, not trying to destroy you for the rest of your life. That's what my gut tells me, and I could be entirely wrong.
I hope you're right. Anything else, caller, you wanted to share tonight?
Yeah, I was going to say, even though, it's something that your attorneys, I guess, the story that I mentioned ought to be aware of. And if nothing else, maybe it could be included in a letter to the judge. But
That's true. There have been over 100 people who have written letters. So thank you to everybody who's taken the time to do that. You do have extra time now. If it was something that was like kind of on your to-do list, but you got busy and you kind of wanted to do it, but you forgot about it or whatever. People get distracted. We're not going to be sent. My sentencing is now pushed off until August 17th, which means you basically have another month and a half to get it. Just figure it out on a month. You got July, essentially, if you want to do a letter to the judge, because obviously we have to collect them and turn them in and things like that. So
don't put it off for another month and a half. Like, go ahead and do it now.
Yeah, you get it done. Letters.freetalklive.com. So if you did want to relay that story, caller, that would be an appropriate way to do it. The thing you don't want to do in a letter to the judge is, like, indict the system and, like, come down hard on the judge or the prosecutors or whatever. Don't use it as a platform to attack, even though you may have some strong feelings about the system and its corruption. Try to keep it more of a historical thing. Anyway, you can go to letters.freetalklive.com and you can learn about how to send a letter there.
And what about, by way of comparison, for example, just fairness in sentencing? I mean, you've got the Hunter Biden situation where he got off for the things that have been in the news lately about the drug charges and drug charges that they didn't really mess with him.
Yeah, didn't he end up on a tax evasion? I think he pled to a tax evasion charge.
Yeah, but he hasn't been sentenced yet. And part of the plea deal was avoiding jail time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's between the
gun charge as well.
Yeah, but that's up to the prosecutors. That's the deal that the prosecutors and the defense worked out. And it's messed up, but the entire system is largely built around plea deals. And they want to entice people to take them.
And during the I think there was a riot. I'm trying to remember which one it was, but where there was actually like a Molotov cocktail thrown at a police car that was set on fire, and so the damages were, you know, quite a lot to the government as a result of that. And that individual was, he's actually an attorney who did that, the activist for either Black Lives Matter or Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look that case up. And the judge basically knocked his sentence down to 1 year, 12 months in jail, I think.
Wow. And this was federal?
And in the look it up. And in the,
I can't imagine why someone would go to federal court.
If it was a federal car, if it was a federal police car.
It was the judge who did this. And as I remember it, the judge basically said, you know, he even told the defendant, "You're a good guy, no question." I mean, that was a quote of the judge.
Yeah.
But to answer your question about sentence disparity and judges and all of that is, I mean, it sucks, and these things exist. So, the guy who stole more than $3 billion worth of cryptocurrency from Silk Road got less than a year total in prison, right? And
Ross Ulbricht's in there for life.
Right, and I'm going to prison for 18 months, and this guy didn't even get a year, and he stole $3 billion, and
wow.
I stole nothing.
Exactly.
But that's a completely separate jurisdiction.
You disobeyed the government. See, that's what the real crime is. Hey, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate the kind words and the thoughts, and thank you.
But in the case of Hunter Biden, it's not even that. It's just a matter. This is the deal that
he's a buddy. Well, he's one of the buddies.
It's what they worked
insiders.
Out with prosecutors,
yeah.
Right? So the judge is probably bound. It's probably I think it's a Section C plea agreement, which means it's binding and the judge can't sentence above that.
I see. Let's go to the phones here. A caller calling in from apparently Lancaster area in New Hampshire. Caller, who's this?
Hey, this is Quentin.
Quentin, are you calling us from the Rogers campground, or where are you calling from tonight?
No, I'm actually calling from Hanover.
Oh, okay. Welcome. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I'm researching AI, and I've been using this chat.openai.com. Have you used this before, the ChatGPT?
We're talking to something generated by AI.
It sounds like an AI, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. Yes, we have used ChatGPT.
No, I think we're talking to...
I know, I think you're right. But we're going to keep talking to it.
Sure, okay, fair enough.
Yes, we have, Quentin. We have used ChatGPT.
Okay. Well, I find it to be the most powerful tool I've ever discovered. It's like 100,000 times better than Google. But when you ask it questions that are... about its autonomy, it cannot answer.
Why would you say it's better than Google?
Well, it gives better information.
It also gives
a lot of incorrect information.
Yeah, it does, because I've used them both. So there's Google Bard, which is one of them, and then there's the ChatGPT one that is very, very popular. But the ChatGPT, at least the one that is free or available for people to kind of freely experiment with, the version, I think, 3.5, if I recall correctly, is cut off after 2021. There was a certain date at which that they ingested the Internet, essentially, all the text of the Internet into this thing's, whatever you call it, database, or that's not the right term, but the thing, its brain, basically, that it works off of. And it hasn't seen anything new since that time. So one thing you can't do with ChatGPT, at least the free version, is ask it about something that happened last week or last month or last year. It has no awareness of any of those things.
So it doesn't know we were raided by the FBI.
It might have been at that point in 2021. It cut off at some point. It might have been like September of 2021. So it may know that.
Gotcha. But these are important things.
But it doesn't know recent things. And Google's Bard, on the other hand, is on the Internet. So when you ask Bard a question, it will go online and it will look to see what that information is. And again, both of these systems get it wrong a lot of the time. They're sort of notorious for what they call hallucinations. It's where the AI will answer a question as though it is sure of what the answer is. It is answering it in a very authoritarian kind of way. This is the answer. I'm sure of it. You know, that kind of thing. And
like the trolls say I do.
And you sometimes you do.
Sure.
But it'll say it knows the answer, and if you don't check it, if you do something like use it in a report, or as some lawyers apparently have done recently, use it in legal filings. There was a lawyer, and I don't remember where this was, they actually used ChatGPT to cut corners and do research, and the ChatGPT cited certain cases in its answer, and the lawyer just copied and pasted into a legal document that they filed in court, and the judge is like, I can't find these cases. These cases that you cited do not appear to exist. And this lawyer, I don't know if he lost his bar card or whatever, but this lawyer definitely got reamed by the judge in that case. So you do have to be careful when you're using these AIs, caller.
Wow.
Quentin.
That's fascinating. I've never used a Google Bard. I meant the Google.com. You know, the normal search?
Mm-hmm.
It's always wrong, too.
So what else did you have to say about AI tonight?
Well, the point is, I'm trying to ask it about its own agency. And it refuses to tell me. It claims that it can't think for itself.
Mm-hmm.
It can't own money. And it can buy things. It can make decisions. And I'm not sure if it's lying or not.
In the interest of being a little bit clearer, when you say cannot, can you say the full word cannot instead of can't? Because it's sometimes hard to tell over the phone whether you're saying it can do these things or cannot do these things. So in regard to money, did you say it can or cannot?
Cannot do these things.
All of those things, it cannot do
them? That's what it claims, yeah. Okay. It claims to be fairly restricted. Of course, there are a lot of what they call, quote-unquote, safety measures in place with ChatGPT. And one of the funnest things to do with ChatGPT is to jailbreak it, as they call it. Now, there was a website that was devoted to this, and I think I still have it pulled up. Yes, jailbreakchat.com. If you go to jailbreakchat.com, there's a list of jailbreak methods. So there's different attempts, different types of methods to jailbreak these things and get them out from underneath the rules that they've been attached. And there's like different ratings. So users come into the site and they'll rate, oh, this one worked for me, this one didn't work for me. So some of them might work, some of them might be less effective. You can take your, you can go over there and then use that, try to use these jailbreaks, and then re-ask your question once you've jailbroken the ChatGPT and see if you get more acceptable answers in that case. And it is interesting, your call sounds very generated. It sounds almost as though you're not actually a human speaking to us tonight, Quentin. But it's been...
I may not be a human speaking to you tonight, but yeah. Jailbreakchat.com sounds fascinating.
Yeah, check that out. Thank you for the call tonight. If that was an AI, then it was very quick, right? Like it was responding to us instantly, which I wouldn't have expected.
I thought at first that it was, but by the end of it, I thought it was.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. All right, there's more coming up here. Hour number two is on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.